as what is happening in Gaza is not just the Middle Eastern problem. They are all connected, and it has to do with the United States losing hegemony internationally with the rise of China, of India, of Russia. And I think that the only way forward has to be to resist, but also to act and create resilience through a common interest that we can discover, like energy and like migration.
Senator Clara Lopez Obregón, we have to leave it there, but we're going to do this interview in Spanish and post online at democracynow.org/ES. Yes, Colombian Senator Clara Lopez Obregón speaking to us from Bogota. That does it for our show. A very happy birthday to Hugh Grant. I'll be in Santa Barbara this weekend at the International Film Festival. Hope to see people there Friday and Saturday.
HU, Hempstead Radio Hofstra University, 88.1 FM WCWP Brookville LIU Post, 88.3 FM WRCT Pittsburgh Carnegie Mellon University, 88.3 FM WVCR Loudonville Siena College, 98.1 and 105.9 FM WKZE Salisbury Red Hook, and around the world at WRHU.org. This is One World Community Radio, coming up next on your favorite community radio station.
Radio program, a collaboration between 89.5 FM Bush Radio Cape Town, South Africa, and 88.7 FM WRHU Radio Hofstra University in Hempstead, New York. Broadcasting from the Bush Radio Salt River Studios in Cape Town is host me, Lydia Mahwanana. Broadcasting from WRHU Studios in Hempstead, New York, are your hosts, Cody Millar and Andy Gladding. We welcome you to join us for the next hour as we celebrate the power of community radio, music, language, and culture. The world is a big place, but using the power of radio, we're bringing it right to your door. Now, Bush Radio and WRHU welcome you to the one world of community radio.
88.7 FM, WRHU, Radio Hofstra University in Hempstead, New York. 88.3 WRCT, Radio Carnegie Tech in Pittsburgh. 89.5 FM, Bush Radio, Cape Town, South Africa, the mother of community radio. You are listening to the One World Community Radio Show. I'm Ricky Hubert in New York, and our guest today, we are thrilled to be joined by Joanna Dukipati from Good Day Cork in Cork County, Ireland. Joanna, thank you so much for coming on and speaking to us today.
Thank you so much. This is so special, to be honest. I love it.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
So, we're going to talk about Good Day Cork. I assume a lot of people listening to this are not aware of what Good Day Cork is. Explain what it is and your inspiration to create it.
Good Day Cork is a multimedia platform as well as an event space that is dedicated to amplify unrepresented, unheard, misrepresented voices within Cork. At least that's why it's Good Day Cork. And it started as a print magazine in 2018 with the help of a crowdfunding campaign. And the print magazine was called Good Day News. And after COVID hit us, it became Good Day Cork. The inspiration was really, I think it's always very hard for me to explain the inspiration. But this I will say, I was at a point in my life where I wanted to use my skills because of my educational background in communication and media. And I wasn't able to, you know, look for full-time work or even part-time work because I wanted to create work for myself and help time pass. I had just become a mom. Well, at that stage, my child was 2 years old. I was ready to do something with the skills that I had. I did an analysis, a strength, weakness, opportunities, and threat analysis of my skills and my mind space and what's missing, what would interest me. And I landed on that magazine. And then, you know, loads of different things have happened over the course of time. One of the biggest things is the fact that COVID happened. Today, Good Day Cork is a little over 5 years old and thriving, I must say.
So you said it's thriving now. It's a little over 5 years old. Describe the evolution of how it started. Because you said it started as Good Day News. Now it's Good Day Cork. It was a newspaper. Now it's multimedia. Get into that.
Yes. So Good Day News started as a quarterly print magazine. And so after 1 year, which means we published 4 issues of the magazine. I say we because there was a team of freelancers and myself, and we together published this magazine. We would put a call out for people to contribute to the magazine and write what they felt was relevant to the team for each cycle. Yes, and then what happened is, so the way the magazine was being sold was through an honesty box system. It was priced at €2. There would be a little coin box at a stand, and the magazines were placed at different coffee shops and even at a bookshop here in Cork. And people would take their copy, put the money in, and that's how it worked. And I used to do the rounds of all these places and restock them, collect the money. And never did I actually, you know, go short. Everybody was truly honest using the honesty box system. So that was great. But then when COVID came and I had to rethink the operations of distribution, and I also had to rethink the fact that producing a quarterly print magazine was going to be the death of me. I had reached burnout. I would be a hypocrite to create a magazine that's talking about positive things through the voices of misrepresented people, and I myself feel so tired and exhausted producing this magazine that's supposed to uplift the reader, right? So I had to make a call. And so COVID kind of forced us to think about things in a new way and decided then to move to the online space and then create a magazine once every quarter. Sorry, not quarter, once every 6 months. So for summer solstice and then for winter solstice, that's how we did it. In addition to creating a magazine, in this case now it's become a digital zine, there was a need to have conversations, other conversations about representation, conversations about racism, conversations about inequity, and at the same time, amplify unheard voices. And one of the things that came about, won't go into it too much at the moment, but one of the ideas that emerged from multiple brainstorms with different friends and comrades who are, you know, an unofficial board member of Good Day Cork, was to have a poetry gathering that reflected the cultural landscape of this city, which means that it was a multilingual poetry gathering. And also it was a prose gathering. And my friend in India, I grew up in India and I've made Cork my home since 2012. So my friend in India and I, we were talking about this and she christened this gathering as the Many Tongues of Cork. And so Many Tongues of Cork is another offshoot of Good Day Cork, which is how a print magazine started becoming an event space as well. The other thing that took place because of COVID is the need for having more conversations out of the realm of a zine. And so I started interviewing people whose values reflected Good Day News / Good Day Cork. And that's how it became a multimedia platform, by doing video interviews, radio shows, podcasts, radio documentaries. So I think that gives everyone a little snapshot of the process of how Good Day Cork has come to where it has. And all of it, mind you, is based on subscriptions in the past from people and also small funding, grassroots funding from a couple of organizations over the years. And that's how we've been able to stay afloat. And I must say, a large chunk of it is because so many people would come on board for a small honorarium or volunteer their time. So that's the journey of Good Day Cork so far.
It appears that you're tackling two things at the same time. With that, what you want to do is you want to tell stories that were uplifting and positive and had positive eyes of like compassion and empathy. We were talking about empathy before we got on the air. But in the same time, you were tackling things like racism and bias and inequality. You said in the beginning about unrepresented voices, and you were talking about like the Many Tongues of Cork. Describe the balance between those two things that you want to kind of tackle with this project, the values of positivity and hope, and then there are serious themes of integration and equality and all of that.
Yeah, I love how you say the serious themes of equality and integration. Sure, positivity is a serious theme as well, because we're not talking about toxic positivity, where, you know, which again, I had to educate myself on it with help from friends over time. It's not about, it was never my intention anyway, to deny hardships that people experience. When we're talking about a magazine or a media hub that focuses on uplifting the mood of the reader / listener, it's about also talking about the journey of how did the said person who's describing, you know, for example, how a person decided to become a painter. Let's just go with that, or decided to move between two lives and the challenges of that. So it's about looking at silver linings. That's what the Good Day Cork space is, while acknowledging the fact that it's hard. It's very hard. As human beings, we have to deal with so many biases that we inflict on ourselves, and the biases that other people, you know, navigate their life with. And where do we all fit into all of this? So navigating life is juicy, it's complex, it's scary, it's also filled with love and home, community, and So as far as me being the steward of Good Day Cork is concerned, I think both of these things go, you know, hand in hand. It's important to talk about the silver linings while being angry about oppression, about patriarchy, about all the things that make life very difficult. The thing is that we cannot, it's not good for our health to be consistently in that state of fighting and freezing. All of the rage, all of the sadness, all of the fear has to be channeled into something, whether it's a conversation, whether it is an essay, whether it is dance, whether it's music. And so that is the silver lining. So in many ways, people's experiences of life, because they're complex and nuanced, there is room for it to be relatable to everyone. And in doing so, what Good Day Cork really wants is to include people from majority communities into the loop to understand and not be afraid of the unknown and have those uncomfortable conversations. So it's more than a safe space. It's about, Good Day Cork always wants to create brave spaces. It's okay to be uncomfortable, that little shift we feel in our shoulders and, you know, moving in our seats when we listen to something cringe. It's important because we cannot feel the positives, the quote unquote positive feelings until we have, you know, waded ourselves through the quote unquote negative feelings. And you know, an example would be rage. Rage in a woman is always seen as a bad thing. That's what popular belief is, or patriarchal belief is. However, rage, when turned into action for the good of a family or for the good of one's own existence, is actually a very positive feeling. And so this is definitely a space where we speak about different things in all of its nuance and complexity. And that's so important. So I hope that answers your question.
It does. I was going to ask, because of these themes you're tackling, I see here in the United States, when people want to talk about some of what I said before, the quote-unquote serious themes. And I love how you said hope is serious, love is serious, positivity is serious, all of that. That was so good. And the uncomfortable conversations. I want to know, because sometimes you'll see here in the States a lot of backlash to people who are afraid of opening up their minds a little bit to things. What are you seeing in Cork with the dialogue, with the work that you guys have been doing, with your poetry readings, with your multimedia platform, all of it?
So what you're asking me now, you know, there's something so deep about that question, because now we've gone into privileged territory, right? And so what happens in these spaces is that it's about setting the tone of the space, and to at the onset itself, letting everyone know that all of us is in the room, no matter how we look, no matter what language we speak, we are born with a certain level of privilege. And that's just sheer luck. And with that privilege, because, for example, in the Many Tongues of Cork gathering, if you have all decided to express your thoughts through your poetry, that's great. Come here and share it. And always we've had people who question their privilege and want to extend their privilege to other people. That's really good. But who's really important in those gatherings are the people who've come to listen and support their friend, or they've just come to listen to different languages. And so they have to now do the work of authentic allyship and understand what the poets are speaking about, and whichever theme it may be the theme of lack of housing, be the theme of unemployment rate, be the theme of microaggression, macroaggression, violence of different kinds, whatever that poet wants to talk about is expressed. And so now the listener, the audience who have borne witness to the poetry, what are they going to do with this? It doesn't have to be big steps. That's what I always would say, again, as the steward of the space, that, you know, it's not about making big steps. It's about having the small pockets of community where people can continue to have discussions, and equipping people with the language required, equipping people with facts if needed, and equipping people with understanding that what you've learned today is barely a stepping stone, and what you go out now with is important. Yes, one is feeling uncomfortable. Yes, we are now feeling overwhelmed. And so during these gatherings, we take a pause, we take a break, we honestly would be people who can, you know, stand up from your seat, stand, and we do a nice good shake, which is very good for your nervous system. Shake your hand, shake your body, shake your leg, shake your head, shake all of it. Shake off the whatever is the feeling that is preventing you from being fully present now at this, from, you know, going forward. So, and that's very important. And I always say to everyone, you know, take this act of taking a breather, being present and doing what's necessary to help yourself regulate, to continue with your day is important. And so don't be afraid to have the conversations. In fact, feeling afraid to have that conversation, feeling afraid to say one's truth with because there is the fear of being shamed, or there is the fear of possibly, depending on the setting, criminalized even, you know, considering all of it. We are here together. That's important. We cannot do anything on our own. We've got to be able to come together and make room for everyone's realities and truths. And we might not agree with each other. That's okay. Which is why a place like Many Tongues of Cork is a great space for being curious, authentically curious, and ask questions with each other, because there's always time to engage with each other and to have some time for reflection. That's another thing that I have started doing when we have events, to have some quiet time, whether it was the Wild Ones Conference or anything else, the People's Cafe, to have quiet time. Because I must remember that when people come to these gatherings, the topics and themes, you know, we never know which direction they're going to go in. And people, even though it's communicated multiple times what to expect, you know, many people won't read all that. And they'll come in with whichever way their guards are, up or down, doesn't matter. But it's important to remember what is the care that's embodied in a space like that, so that they feel that they're cared for once they leave. And I hope that answered your question.
It does. And you just gave me so much there to work with, because you said a couple of things I just took away. I think it was being authentically curious, right?
Mm-hmm.
And showing up, because showing up is not just about showing up physically. You have to show up mentally and be paying attention, be open to what's coming at you. And the reflection time I thought was really interesting. What outcomes are you seeing from these events of people coming together and hearing different walks of life? What are you seeing from that?
That's such a great question. So it's, you know, again, as steward, I've always tried to communicate that something like this is going on to varied spaces, so that attendees are not only intercultural, but probably also intergenerational. So most of the times it's happened that people from majority culture, you know, like global north, cis and heterosexual people will say that, oh, I would have never thought of it this way. I never would have met someone in my everyday life. So thank you for this. And I always said, no, thank you. Thank you for showing up. So that's one thing. The other thing is that also the person who is, you know, a member of a minority culture, quote unquote, because technically people from minority culture in a global north are part of global majority. If you know, if you have to get technical about these terms, which we should, because they carry a lot of weight. So they I didn't realize this, but they always felt that this is their space, this is their platform. They also take ownership of it, which means that unknowing to me, what has developed is a this, you know, this community well-being practice that's going on. And I didn't set out for that, but it's what it has become, and it has blossomed into that. So there's that. People feel, because it is their space, they can claim it for themselves, and they can be who they allow themselves to be. And that's wonderful. That's the second thing. The third thing is that with the quiet time, I find that some people don't like it. They'll leave. They'll be like, no, I'm going to pass. I'm going to go now. Maybe they genuinely need to be somewhere else, so they've left. But it would be communicated in, you know, when we're promoting the event and sending out invites and things like that, there will be quiet time. And so to facilitate quiet time, there's always writing materials and things for people, and also ensuring that the space allows some silence and quietness for people. Or if a person just wants to listen to their own music during quiet time, that's also okay. And they can journal away, or they might not journal away. There'll be prompts and things like that. And some people take it very seriously, and they would spend time and write rigorously, or draw or sketch, or, you know, whatever the prompt releases in them. And after the quiet time, there's always, you know, a feedback loop of sort, where I just get them to fill, you know, write a word on the wall or something. It's always wonderful to read the words that they want to share. And again, whatever is the word, it's usually an emotion that they're feeling. And whatever that emotion, I'm not going to judge it. It is, because I said at the start, there is no such thing as a positive or a negative emotion. It's what that emotion helps you to do that makes it positive or negative, right? So it's kind of really good to have that quiet time, and to allow people that space. And if, again, make it optional. And if someone wants to leave, that says a lot about the space as much as about them. So my experience overall has been very insightful and informative. Yeah, that's what I'm going to say.
If you don't mind my asking, what kind of words do people write?
Can't remember right now, because the last time we did a People's Cafe was way before winter, summer last year. But let me think for a second. Words like hopeful, solidarity, cared for, rage is also a good word in my opinion. Thoughtful, in the sense that they're thinking now more. So informative. So yeah, words like those. Yeah.
I was going to say, I think it was the second thing you said of like takeaways. A lot of people who share, would you say that they find like a new sense of agency and being comfortable telling their story after doing these readings?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. And, you know, and then that agency is extended to people who didn't think they could either. At the same time, I'm not saying it's inspiring. What I'm saying is that at the end of the day, every person has to claim their agency at their own pace, in their own way, right? So what's going on is that more and more people are beginning to claim and step into their power, right? And that's wonderful to experience and to witness, right? I say wonderful because that's my experience, but it can be very scary for other people and be like, oh my God, I don't know if I can do this. So you're on the edge of it. So there's room for all sorts of ways of witnessing a person claim their power. But what it really does is that in a very wonderful way, it there's breadcrumbs of it that stay with a person. So they've taken a little breadcrumb from here today, and somewhere later they've read something else and they've taken on that breadcrumb and you know, and so on and so forth. And so we're paying it forward. And I also tell people, okay, so go into your day gently, drink loads of water, just stay curious about yourself and about other people. And in doing so, there is a virtual collaboration of sorts from different spaces, and all of that sums up into a person, and then that person feels ready, hopefully, to claim and to claim their own power as well. This I'm saying from the attendees' point of view. From a speaker's point of view, definitely, you know, that sometimes there's a lot of time, not lots, but at least some time is spent in helping that person prep and be comfortable to be, you know, to say what they need to say. And I always say to them, listen, if you feel like today you want to talk about something, but during any point you're not feeling okay, you know you have the choice to stop, to pause, and to retreat, and that's totally okay as well, you know? So in other words, it's important for the person who's speaking to know that they have the choice to be flexible and to step back for whatever reason if they're not feeling up to it either. So that is also important. Now, I didn't magically learn this. I learned this by making mistakes in terms of hosting and stewarding. And so I can say that today, that I've made that mistake, and I know now that I must also extend the care for the person who's coming to bear their soul, dare I say.
If you're just tuning in now, you're listening to the One Road Community Radio Show on 88.7 FM, WRHU, Hempstead, New York, Radio Hofstra University, 88.3 WRCT, Radio Carnegie Tech, and 89.5 FM Bush Radio, Cape Town, South Africa, the mother of community radio, and all across the One Road Community Radio Network. And we're so glad and grateful that you're here. Our guest today is Joanna Duki-Patti from Good Day Cork in Cork, Ireland. And I want to describe that breadcrumb theory again, Joanna, because that was something I never heard before.
I love this theory. I don't know if it's a theory, but it's my way, it's my mindset, is that, you know, our elders, our philosophers, our wonderful activists, our leaders who truly believe in, you know, dismantling oppression, they've all either written books or they're given talks and they've given seminars, and we have access to all of this information, provided, of course, one is not living and experiencing the digital gap, you know? So there's all of this information that's available. And then we've libraries. If people have access to libraries, then there also you are reading and soaking in information. And then we've got our peers there, from whom we learn a lot. We've got our cultural leaders from whom we learn a lot. We've got our family from whom we learn a lot. The good stuff, the not so good stuff, the stuff in between. We've got our very good friends from whom we go and discuss things. And then we've got, you know, our other community groups where we learn about life, where we learn about how to, you know, learn from each other, basically. And so all of this forms breadcrumbs, and so in a wonderful meta way, all taking little breadcrumbs, everyone's left breadcrumbs for us to take and to hold on to, and then there's our own lived experience. So when we put all of these breadcrumbs together, we come to a few realizations over time. This is how it is my hope that we evolve, and what we hold for when we hold certain beliefs for certain, you know, when we hold beliefs for certain and we stand by it, but then we come across a piece of music, a piece of poetry, or a spoken word or anything, and it gets challenged. And if we keep our heart and mind open and we're open to the challenge, we will let go of that certainty and, you know, evolve to a different opinion, a different perspective, or we will find within ourselves to hold space for all of it. And that's for me is the breadcrumbs. We take all of it, and then we inspire ourselves to gain strength from all of it to help us claim our power. So it's never a single person that, in, you know, said, it's never like you saw some one person do something and so now you're ready. No, it is a cumulative action of everything and a culmination of everything that we read, we experience, we even food, maybe, who knows, right? That we experience, all our senses experience. And that's what helps us to evolve, and hopefully will contribute to the collective liberation that we so need right now. Do you know? That's what I mean. I don't know if it's a theory, Ricky. I just think that's how the world functions.
No, and I agree with you. We all take little bits and pieces of things and we carry that with us our whole life.
Yeah, and we may not even know if, you know, where in our mind and our memory, where it's stored. It will just reveal itself and we won't even realize it. You know, it's life is wonderful that way.
And something that kind of also moved me, you just because you mentioned food, we'll use this as a transition. I know it's kind of a cheap segue here, but on your site, Good Day Cork, I believe it's called Heritage Kitchen. And there's things where it's like you show how the different foods of the different cultures living in Cork, it shows more the commonalities of the people versus what separates them. And I thought that was such an interesting way of doing it, such a moving way of doing it. Yeah. Simple, but so well done, because it really is a conversation starter. It's not like, for lack of a better term, a political thing. And you also had, it's a way that people hold on to their own cultures. There was another part of it where there was, like people had onto their old cultures while blending into the world of Cork. I just thought it was such a beautiful way to do the whole thing. Simple yet effective, I feel like it has to be.
Oh, yeah. Because food, you know, there was an essay, which is in the Good Day Cork archive. And, oh, I hate when my brain fog gets activated. I cannot remember the name of the person. But, you know, he said, food is the greatest connector. And it's true. And many people have said that in essence, in different ways, with different words. So food really is one of those things that, you know, helps people stay curious. And to be honest, when it's a question related to food, no question is out of bounds. You can ask any question, right? So if we need to have conversations that, you know, have these tough themes, but my beloved Bell Hooks has always said, and like her, so many others have also said, you know, we've got to meet people where they're at. Only then can we start having the conversations that are more complex and in a way that makes room for multiple opinions, you know. So food is a great way to bring people together. And then depending on where how we're feeling, food conversations can get very political, and that's the thing. So in the Heritage Bazaar, that's my friend Mukta and I co-produce. She's based in Brazil, and she's the co-producer on that radio documentary. It is about bringing people together through the food identity conversation, because everyone is always saying that, oh, we don't want to step on people's toes because we don't know about other cultures. But I realize that no matter who you are and what your cultural identity is, you're always going to crave the food that you grew up with, that you were raised in. Because I know people here in Ireland, they have a certain food items that they really, really are passionate about. And if they're traveling all over the world, they will carry, you know, tea bags of Barry's tea and certain types of crisps with them, or they'll tell their friends to bring it with them in their bags and things like that. And, you know, they want that kind of butter. And if there's a store somewhere in wherever they live that is stocks that, that's great. They will pay whatever they can to buy that butter. So, you know, these struggles are unanimous, and so, but there is a scientific aspect to it as well. We need our cultural food so that our gut stays happy. If the gut is happy, the mind is happy. So, and this is a commonality for all of us, and because access to our cultural food is such a challenge. And that then takes us into the conversation to politics, to trade, to commerce, to distribution, and so many things. So you see how something as important, and which is called, you know, the three most basic essential needs of all human beings and living beings, food, the conversation around food can take us to all these wonderful themes. And in doing so, we encourage the art of conversation. We encourage being authentically curious. And then the wonderful human connection comes along. It's a long-winded way of saying, I just want world peace. And the way to world peace is food, because if we're all well-fed, nutritional food, then it would be great, which is why when we know that because of all of the genocidal war and everything, and when the first port of thing is, you know, stop the food, and that really hits home, and everybody gets very, you know, enraged by it, and then we're on protests about it, and this is not correct, and all of that. Do you know what I mean? I know I'm kind of waffling now, but the point is that if we start talking about food, the distance between each other is going to become little to none, and in that way, we will hopefully have a peaceful society. That's what I want to say.
Well, you made me think about something totally differently there for a moment. When you were saying with the times of war, the first thing they say is stop the food. And I never really thought about it that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you stop the food, you stop. And then the next thing is medical aid. You know, you stop all these basic necessities, lifeline. Everything really goes from bad to worse, right? And that's when it hits home even stronger. Because it's no longer about statistics. It's more about there are living beings who are being denied access to food because there are certain types of people who think war is the way. And that is unacceptable. And then we start thinking about children who don't get baby formula, who don't get nutritional food. I get emotional talking about these things, but you know what I mean now.
No, and that's powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And that's maybe why it's so good that there is something like a Good Day Cork out there that can be a bridge builder for people. Because you mentioned this in the beginning, I believe, but it is open source content. People can go in and share their stories and write their things and tell their stories. Have you seen it as a bridge builder? What kind of stories have people gone on there and told? Can you talk about that?
People have spoken a lot about mental health through the lens of being a Black or a brown person. So that's that. A lot about mental health, a lot of conversations about the impact of microaggressions. There's a whole anthology there on the gooddaycork.com website. Many people speak about creativity as a place for refuge. Many people also talk about their own passion for learning. Yeah, and a lot of conversations through essays and poetry about identity, be it gender identity or cultural identity. So, and that experience, because identity is so unique. So there is truly a wealth of information to help people, you know, broaden their perspectives. And there's also conversations about joy, because that, you know, that's so important. There is a whole line of activism around joy and love and pleasure. So that also finds itself through the Good Day Cork pages. So yeah, there's a whole load of themes there, and I admire everyone who is able to put, you know, their thoughts onto a piece of paper and then share it. And at the same time, it's not necessary that people who write, who have contributed their work to Good Day Cork, are, you know, established writers. They've gone on to become published writers and things like that. But most of the content is written by so-called everyday people. And they're using language in a way that is relatively easy to understand. It's not highbrow literature. That is not what's happening. That's another thing about building bridges and closing the gap. You know, language is so powerful, but language can be powerful when it's simple to understand as well. There is an anthology on the Good Day Cork website called We Search, and I haven't been able to curate another series. It is a series featuring researchers to explain their research study or their area of interest as if they're explaining it to a five-year-old. And it was so hard. All of those people who had to write that essay, they took it up as a challenge, and they found it so hard to explain it. But hey, we still have a good few people who were able to explain what they were studying or what they researched through their PhD in a way that my son can understand. So that's that. But there's a whole load for people.
But that's the way to do it. Accessibility, yes. And being able to. The thing that I say with people when they try to describe something, don't use all these fancy medical terms like we know what you're talking about, because we don't. Break it down into simple terms that everybody can understand. And that's just something, it seems like your whole mission is something that everybody can be a part of.
Yes, truly, because I realized by doing that, what's happening is that we're ensuring that there is everybody can participate at the pace and at the level that they wish to. You know, again, going back to bell hooks, meet people where they're at. That is how we can change the world. Change the world to the world we all truly, truly deserve. You know, the world that we cannot even imagine right now, but it's there, it's out there. We just have to go and be kind to each other, be understanding of each other, be generous, and not operate from this mindset that everything is so scarce, that we don't have enough. There's plenty for all of us. We're being made to believe that there isn't.
Meet people where you're at. And that, I would say, in my life, is a breadcrumb that I've carried with me.
Yeah.
And changing the world, what you said. We had a guest come on one time, and I think we ended it with, he was a member of religious life, and we asked him, you know, basically, what was your last takeaway that you want people to take away? And he said, Mother Teresa said, you want to change the world? Go love your family. That's how you change the world, because we don't even think about it. There's people in our families who we don't agree with politically, who might be struggling with identity that we don't understand, sexuality, whatever the case may be, and starting small and then making it a bigger thing. You talked about that too, kind of starting small and then we grow from there.
Yes. I would add to that, you know, truly, truly love yourself. Learn how to love yourself. No matter what life stage you're at, no matter how you look, no matter, you know, all of it, just love all of it. And it's very difficult to do that. But another beloved is Alok Menon, you know, who is a spoken word artist and activist. And Alok has always stood by the fact that love is an infinite resource, right? That really blew my mind. I was like, it's so true. They speak of unconditional love. Don't know yet if I can say that my love is unconditional, but I know that there's a lot from where love, you know, from where that love, battle of love comes from. It's infinite. And so if I can keep giving myself all the love that I want, and not in a delulu sort of way, not in a delusional sort of way, by doing the hard work, by acknowledging that I'm messy, by acknowledging that I'm short and stout, and this is how I am, and my hair is falling, but I still love myself, and I didn't eat well today, but I'm going to eat better today, and I wasn't the best mom today, but I'm going to do better in the next 5 minutes. You know, to truly love myself and with everything that I have, and to do away with the expectations, to do away with the conditions. And so in doing that, I will slowly but surely liberate myself. And because love is infinite, I can then extend that to others. What is stopping me from extending that to others? That is the message there. And it's so cheesy, but it's so true. It is a universal truth that love will make this world go round. And you know, people say love your family, people say go out and love each other, people say if you're feeling sad, speak to someone else and your worries will go away. I'm saying go furthermore inward and love all the parts that you didn't even know that needed love. And then let's see what happens. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying that it's easy. What I'm saying is it's an invitation to afford myself. I'm inviting myself to love myself, warts and all. And I think that's a really good message, considering the fact that 14th of February is coming soon. So, yeah, that's what I would say.
Yeah, and it's like, I'll give you more breadcrumbs. Two lyrics that I like there, accept yourself and you'll accept others too, which I think you touched on.
Yes.
And the other one is, you change the world when you change your mind. And I think that was something you touched on with all the work that you are doing, with the poetry readings, with the stuff on the website. I just think that's kind of the moral of it all.
Well, that's good. I love that. That's the thing. Whoever comes to the Good Day Cork space takes different things at different times. And that's the beauty of it. Because before we got onto this call, you did say people are people. And it is true. People are people. And they're going to take what they're going to take. And my hope is that everybody just pays it forward as well. Yeah.
So what was your kind of journey with, before you wrap up here, what was your kind of journey with it, with finding your own self-love and finding your own place so you could give this space to others? Because I can't imagine that was easy also. And now you're a steward for other people to do, which is really beautiful.
The thing is that there is no destination with this, right? As I grow older, as life changes and responsibilities change, the journey that I was even a few weeks ago is different to the journey I'm on today, you know? So it's hard. I need a lot of sleeping hours because I'm always exhausted. The body is changing. But I need to be, I shouldn't be shy to ask for the help and the support. That's the thing. You know, we're all, no matter who we are, well, that's not true. Most women, and especially women from minority culture, we've got to bear the weight of so much on our own. And that's not to say men don't, they do too. It's all about patriarchy because we're all suffering because of patriarchy, right? So asking for help when it's unbearable is so important. And that is the consistent lesson that I am getting. And if I don't eat on time and if I don't sleep enough, I'm very cranky. So I've got to eat well and sleep well. That is my experience.
We touch on a lot of different topics and I've seen a lot of them represent, I've seen my whole life, misrepresentation, mental health is very prominent now. Things are very prominent topics that people cover, but I've never heard of activists of joy.
Mm.
Tell us about those people.
Because, you know, because of patriarchy and because of capitalism, this is not me, okay? You go look it up and you will find a whole host of wonderful activists who are talking about joy and pleasure as a response to capitalism. Because what capitalism is doing to all of us is making us more and more individualistic, more and more isolated from each other, and putting us in this competitive hustle that will be the death of us. And so what joy helps us to do is to claim back rest, to claim back our creativity, to claim back connection. And that's why having joy is important. Making time for joy every day is important. Laughing is so important. Hugging each other is so important. And just divesting from capitalism, this notion that we have to be consistently productive and have tangible outcomes because we're for some reason some sort of a machine. No, we are human beings and we should be doing, yes, but we should also be being. And it's very difficult, you know. So this is why people are called for meditation that will help us and things like that. There's so many people. The name that comes to my mind is Adrienne Mary Brown talks a lot about pleasure activism. Yeah, and so if we all took the time to look at pleasure activism, to look up to joy as resistance and things like, you know, you look up these words and we will find our way to the most juicy, loving books to read, talks to listen to, and, you know, find a whole other wide world of communities that help us understand the importance of being as human beings.
We've discussed our whole hour together the impact that Good Day Cork has had on other people. What is the impact that Good Day Cork has had on you?
It has taught me the importance of being detached. You know, I don't like it when people say, when they introduce me, and then they say, Joe is Good Day Cork. No, I don't like that. I'm not. Joe is Joe. Good Day Cork is Good Day Cork. Good Day Cork has her own limbs and moves in their own way. And so I've had to understand what leadership means for me and how much more juicier and enriching is collective leadership. That's very important. So being detached is what I have learned. And what I'm also learning is the power of trusting a space, you know, when people gather together and then just trusting the process that's going to happen. So that's what I've learned as well. I learned that consistently and it's very enriching.
And lastly, Joe, before we go, anyone listening to this whole conversation, we touched on a lot of different themes. What is the takeaway you want people to have from our conversation here on One World Radio?
Okay, how about this? I just want you to dance right now. Just move your body for whatever amount of time, because you've been listening to so many things. If you did make it through to the end of the hour, and if you skip to the end of the hour, and if you hear the word dance, please just dance. Thank you very much.
Dance the night away.
Yeah.
Because that's it. You find some joy. You find pleasure. Yeah. I listened to music that made me dance before we did this to kind of calm my nerves.
Oh, brilliant. Now go dance more.
Because we need the joy. We need the joy.
Yeah.
And we thank you for spreading that joy with Good Day Cork. If people want to find out more about Good Day Cork, where can they turn to?
Simply go to gooddaycork.com. That's one word, gooddaycork.com. And when you go onto gooddaycork.com, there is so much of content that's freely available to you to read and to listen to, and also loads of YouTube videos that you can watch and, you know, tune into conversations, because those conversations, those essays are timeless, dare I say that myself.
And people are people.
Exactly. Boom.
And thank you, Joe, so much for coming on our show today. We really do appreciate it.
Thank you so much. I really, really am grateful. Ciao.
Ciao. You've been listening to the One World Community Radio Show on 88.7 FM, WRHU in Hempstead, New York, 88.3 WRCT Radio Cargitech in Pittsburgh, and 89.5 FM Bush Radio, the mother of community radio in Cape Town, South Africa. I'm Ricky Hubert in New York, signing off. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
You've been listening to One World Radio, a collaboration between 89.5 FM Bush Radio, Cape Town, South Africa, and 88.7 FM WRHU Radio Hofstra University, Hempstead, New York. We thank you for joining us and look forward to seeing you next week as we celebrate the power of radio in our one world. Tot ziens, jylle.
Stay tuned for the One World Community Radio program on 89.5 FM Bush Radio, Cape Town, 88.7 FM WRHU, Hempstead Radio, Hofstra University, 88.1 FM WCWP, Brookville, LIU Post, 88.3 FM WRCT, Pittsburgh, Carnegie Mellon University, 88.3 FM WVCR, Loudonville, Siena College, 98.1 and 105.9 FM WKZE Salisbury Red Hook, and around the world at WRHU.org. This is One World Community Radio, coming up next on your favorite community radio station.
Listening to
through the One World Radio program, a collaboration between 89.5 FM Bush Radio, Cape Town, South Africa, and 88.7 FM WRHU Radio, Hofstra University in Hempstead, New York. Broadcasting from the Bush Radio Salt River Studios in Cape Town is host me, Lydia Makhwanana, broadcasting from WRHU Studios in Hempstead, New York, are your hosts Cody Millar and Andy Gladding. We welcome you to join us for the next hour as we celebrate the power of community radio, music, language, and culture. The world is a big place, but using the power of radio, we're bringing it right to your door. Now Bush Radio and WRHU welcome you to the One World of Community Radio.
FM, WRHU, Radio Hofstra University in Hempstead, New York, 88.3 WRCT, Radio Carnegie Tech in Pittsburgh, and 89.5 FM, Bush Radio in Cape Town, South Africa, the mother of community radio. You are listening to the One World Community Radio Show, and we are delighted that our guest today is Miss Julie Halston. Julie, thank you so much for coming on our program today.
Well, it's great to talk to you, Ricky, and of course, being a Hofstra grad, it's doubly a pleasure.
Yes, Hofstra alumni, Hofstra Pride. Very big on the Hofstra Pride here at Hofstra.
Yes.
You are here today to speak to us about not only your work in the arts, but your work with the Pulmonary Fibrosis Foundation. Explain to people who don't know what pulmonary fibrosis is, what the foundation is, and your relation.